Bankless Nation, is the first week of December. Ladies and gentlemen, we have 100K Bitcoin. We hit it this week, David.
Wow, $100,000. Where were you when Bitcoin crossed $1,000? Do you remember?
Where was I? Oh my God. I mean, still living at my house, like with my family. I don't remember the moment.
Really?
Are you talking? Is there a moment that you recall?
I remember my friend, my Bitcoin pilled friend, talking to me and my other friend about Bitcoin. And it was the first friend that I had that talked to me about Bitcoin. And he was just stoked that Bitcoin had crossed $1,000. And it was the first moment I was like, okay, like maybe I should like actually like meaningfully look into this.
Where's that Bitcoin friend now?
He's in abandoned Portland.
How's he doing? Yeah? Yeah. Is he still in the scene? He's still in crypto?
Or did he sell? He was never like a crypto native. He was just like a Bitcoiner, a guy who just like was pilled about Bitcoin from a very early age.
Well, yeah. Here's to hoping your friend held that Bitcoin. And for
all
the way of the Bitcoin holders
out there, 100 times higher.
You know what?
The first moment I had my first friend pill me on Bitcoin.
We got to start with this clip. I think Eric Adams here, this is the mayor of New York City. And I think Eric Adams basically sums up how all of us are feeling. Okay. This is Eric Adams, the guy who in 2022 took his first paychecks as a mayor of New York City in Bitcoin, denominated in Bitcoin. Here's his reflections on Bitcoin hitting 100K this week.
He is standing in front of a podium, in front of a crowd of people, a crowd of reporters for context.
Setting the scene. It's cool. Look at the background. It says investing in our children, creating career pathways for 15,000 students. Not a press conference about Bitcoin.
Safest subway in 14 years.
Here he is. Let's just play the clip. Here he goes.
We should not be afraid of Bitcoin. Remember y'all laughed at me when I first got my Bitcoin? Who's laughing now? Go look at my Bitcoin now. You're all mocking me. You're taking your first three paychecks in Bitcoin. What's wrong with you? Now you wish you would have done it. You know? And so I am happy.
This Who's is laughing now?
This is setting the tone of everyone who's going home for Christmas in two weeks. Who's laughing now?
Your family's gonna love you, ladies and gentlemen.
Excuse my language. The shit-eating grin that he has is plastered on his face the whole time.
Go on, it's how we're all feeling, all right? So we got to start there. It's time for the Bankless Weekly Roll-Up. We got 100K Bitcoin. We'll talk about the timeline, David. I want to bring you through history.
Yeah, let's
do it. We're going to start at the Bitcoin pizza and work our way up just to celebrate this momentous week. It's another all-time high week, of course, at Bitcoin. Not just Bitcoin, though. Also, stablecoins catching an all-time high. Also, XRP, Ripple, flipping into number three slot.
Not on my bingo card, this bull market, but yeah,
seriously,
here we are.
A lot of Solana bulls, disappointing because it took number three spot. We'll talk about that. What else we got?
Mark Andreessen appeared on Joe Rogan to talk about things that we very much know about in the crypto space, things that are not new to us at all, like the lived experience that we've had for the last 2 years about founders being debanked. And it was shocking to me, and I think Mark, that like Joe Rogan had no prior knowledge of this. And as a result of this episode, it just rang around the Joe Rogan community, which is very large. And now it has become common knowledge. It went from like esoteric crypto corner conspiracy theory to common knowledge about the debanking of tech and crypto. That's just the news that now the rest of the industry, the rest of the world knows about the debanking of crypto. So we're going to talk about the reflections of all of this news processing through the internet. Also, we now know the new name of the SEC chairman. Who is he and what can we expect from him? Hyperliquid dropped their token and it's become one of the largest airdrops ever. And then the Celsius founder, our best friend, Alex Machinsky, who agrees with us that banks are not your friend.
He's got the t-shirt.
He got the t-shirt. That's what he said. He has pled guilty. He needs shortly to be sentenced. We're going to catch up on Alex Machinsky. All of that and more, but first a message from our friends over at Ambire Wallet. Ambire is the first hybrid account abstraction wallet. They host both smart wallets and existing EOA accounts, just to give you a little bit more tools for the tool belt. They currently have a browser extension that's in closed beta, but they're launching this gamified testing campaign for the browser extension called Ambire Legends. It's a pretty slick-looking game. It's an on-chain quest game in which you pick a soulbound NFT character that evolves as you play. So every on-chain action on Ethereum-based Optimism Arbitrum Scroll with your Ambire wallet earns you XP, And your what does XP do to characters? It lets your character grow, but also gives you future rewards. This is just available for the Empire Extensions beta testers, which you can sign up to become at bankless.cc/iambire-legends. There is a link in the show notes to get access to that.
Who doesn't like XP, David?
Dude, gamified on-chain experience? Hell yeah.
Yeah, and smart account abstraction wallets are the way to go. So, like, this isn't a taste of the future as well. I want to be this penguin with a sword over here. You seen this guy?
That's got to be your character. I'm assuming you only get to pick one.
Yeah, that's me. That's me right there. Let's talk about Bitcoin, okay? Because it's right. Bitcoin's week.
It's Bitcoin week.
Hit 100K. Let's look at it on the Kraken Pro charts here. Here it is. Green candles marching all
looking
the way
great.
Up to 100K and past 100K. What was the all-time high in the week?
The new Bitcoin all-time high, $103,000, $679. Starting the week at $94,900, up 6%. Currently at $101,000. God, that 100 handle is kind of crazy.
Can you believe that, dude? Like, okay, so
it just violently burst through it just last night with for no reason whatsoever other than it's time to buy Bitcoin.
Everyone was talking about 100K Bitcoin, of course, because that's the milestone. Do you know, also, the same day, it passed 2 trillion in terms of market cap.
100K that's another, and 2 trillion? That's pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's another number. 2 trillion. Think of how much it takes to move a multi-trillion dollar market 10% in a week. That's what Bitcoin went and did. What a crazy week this has been.
There's a pretty cool moment of Isaac Miller, who made this kind of classic 2013 video, watching camera pointing at the TV screen, the computer screen, watching Bitcoin cross $100. And he just did it again 11 years later, doing the same thing to trying to copy himself 11 years later. Let's go watch this clip of Isaac recreating this moment, but now at 100,000, superimposed over his $100 Bitcoin crossing.
I'm right here watching history be made. Bitcoin is up to $100,000.
It's an all-time high, and it's continuing to rise. I've seen it break today. Three times today. Went up to 110, and this is the highest that it's been.
It's the highest it's ever been. It's ridiculous. Look, we had
last trade,
2 Bitcoin for $100,000
a piece. $11
a piece.
It's just amazing to me. I mean, just look at this graph.
You see this graph?
That's the last.
This is just
three
the last
hours.
3 minutes.
Give me a second. I'll switch it up.
This guy looks the exact same.
He
I
did
gotta
not
say,
age
11 years
at
later.
All, bro. That's what happens when you are in Bitcoin below $100.
He's still living in the same place too. It feels like maybe he could upgrade his living circumstances with
No. Never sell.
Only
hold.
He's still
only
living
hold.
Like a pauper, like stacking like hundreds of millions of dollars in Bitcoin. Who knows? Uh-huh. Oh my God, that's crazy. This has just erupted in my timeline. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. A lot of I told you so. A lot of celebrations from the Bitcoin community. Not one to miss out on the action was Donald Trump, of course, on Truth Social.
Yeah.
He says, congratulations, Bitcoiners, $100,000. You're welcome. Together we will make America great again. I love how Trump just gets here like 6 months ago and he's just like, here you go. I gave you $100,000 Bitcoin.
He's not wrong.
Okay.
It was going to happen no matter what, but like... Yeah. If Kamala was president, $100,000 might not have come until 2026 or 2027. Who knows?
Yeah, he definitely helped in the last stretch year. But I wouldn't say he's been around for the whole ride. Anyway, Donald Trump, very exciting. You know what we should do? I kind of want to take a moment to zoom out on the Kraken charts and talk about how far we've come.
Do you think you can do that, Ryan?
Can you
zoom out
so
that far? You're going to have to go out to longer than a day. You're going to go to 1 month candles. 1 month candles.
I've never done this. Okay. Yeah. Thanks to Kraken Pro for these glorious charts. Here we go.
One month candles.
All right, I've never gone back this far.
Ryan didn't know that 1 month candles were a thing.
Okay, but it actually starts in October 2013, and that's when the Kraken charts, pro charts start.
That's when it crosses $100 for the first time.
Is that the birth of Kraken? Somewhere around that timeline, 2012, 2013.
That's a lot
of
data that they have.
I want to actually take you before that though. Okay, so we have Genesis. 2009 to 2010. Of course, Bitcoin was launched in 2009 by this mysterious figure, Satoshi Nakamoto. The very first real-world purchase happened in May 2010. Okay. At the time, that was a purchase of 10,000 Bitcoin for two pizzas.
World's most expensive pizzas.
Yes. So at that point, though, one Bitcoin was valued at 0.0004 cents for one Bitcoin.
And it was also the moment, the instantiation of value, of a market value of Bitcoin.
It was pizza. Just such pizza. So legendary there. So there's Bitcoin pizza guy who just like imagine that transaction. Anyway, that was the very first. That was the genesis. We have this early growth phase. In February 2011, Bitcoin reached parity with the dollar. Became a stable coin for a brief moment at $1. Okay, so one Bitcoin equals $1. That happened in 2011. And then we had this kind of early growth mania. This is when Bitcoin first came on my radar, David. I don't know about you, but you were talking about Bitcoin crossing $1,000 for the first time. Mm-hmm. Well, that happened in December 2013 for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And that was an epic moment. And I recall it coming back on my radar right after that when it fell back down. Remember the Mt. Gox thing? And Bitcoin was back down into the hundreds. In 2014, it was around $200.
Right. Okay, so my story earlier was when it was crossing $1,000, was after it crossed $1,000 the second time. So this mine was in, it was the resurgence back to $1,000. That's when my story was told.
So you weren't paying attention around this.
I wasn't paying attention, no.
Okay, I started paying attention a little bit, but like really it was 2014. It was like a Thanksgiving. Remember I told you I was like,
Ryan has one of the craziest like introduction to crypto stories. It's actually kind of a shame that it's never been articulated on the podcast. Yeah, the fact that there's drugs involved.
Prescription drugs, guys. Let's not get carried away, all right? It was for an illness that I had, all right? Let's not get too crazy. But I really saw the light on that drug trip, let me tell you. Okay, and then we go to David's era. So if you remember, like 2015, 2016, it was blockchain, not Bitcoin, blah, blah, blah. Bitcoin is dead, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then we got the 2017 bull market. Bitcoin, January 2017, surpassed its previous all-time high, trading at $1,000 again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was when you were like, you're paying attention at that point.
I was like,
Okay. So we, in that bull market, we peaked about a year later, December 2017. Do you remember when Bitcoin hit 20K at that point in time? That was a crazy run.
I remember seeing my roommate at the time looking at his phone, and I had just told him to buy Ether at like $600, $700, and both Bitcoin and Ether were peaking. And I remember seeing my roommate like dancing. Like just extreme euphoria, and I had my first ever moment of like, this doesn't feel right.
Oh, really?
And that moment was the top.
Okay.
And it was the first moment I was like, wait a second, what's
David's
going on
top.
Here?
Yeah,
it was my first like gut instinct of like,
yeah, but
maybe you should sell the top.
If I recall your story, you were playing, you were dabbling around in that time in like IOTA.
Yeah, I was.
And, like,
I was
all this like
IOTA
garbage
was earlier.
Tokens.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, you had dumped IOTA by that time.
Yeah.
But, like.
I was rotating around whatever coins.
Ether, if I recall, peaked in like January, February, 2018. So just a couple months later.
A couple weeks later.
Oh my God. Then we had that devastating correction,
terrible.
Of course, bear market. Bitcoin.
That's when I learned to become numb. I don't know about you.
20K down to 3K during that time for Bitcoin. And then again, everyone said it was dead. This is, by the way, December 2020 during that bear market when MicroStrategy started buying a little bit, just a little bit at first. Oh, Michael Saylor, PayPal, MicroStrategy, that kind of thing was happening. And then we got in 2021 the bull market. Back on the menu. This is post-COVID. We can flash forward past the COVID crash and all of this. Mm-hmm. Some signs of life in January 2021. Bitcoin hit 40K.
The STIMI era.
STIMI era. Do you remember that?
Institutional adoption, inflation, a lot of the economic lessons that we've all learned over the last like 4 years.
Some people listening to Bankless will probably remember this. This is post the Bankless podcast. So you probably remember us covering all of this during that time. November 2021, Bitcoin peaked at 69K. That was around the all-time high for that that bull market. Nice number right there, right?
Funny.
Then, of course, we had FTX, crypto winter. You guys know that story, 2022. And now here we are, David.
We are.
Fast forward to 100K Bitcoin. What a journey it has been all along, hasn't it?
Yeah, it time is so weird in this industry. Looking at these last candles, especially the we're looking at 1 month candles once again. The candle currently being formed in December is, you know, we still have 25 more days of December. The November candle is absolutely
so huge.
Gargantuan.
It's the
going
Mount
from $70,000 to like $95,000, $25,000 in a single month is insane.
Absolutely insane.
But that, of course, Donald Trump, thank you. Thank you for that candle.
Yeah, let's go back to his tweet. It's like, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, he says. Okay, so actually, this is interesting too. New to this cycle, central bankers are weighing in on Bitcoin. This is Fed Chair Jerome Powell talking about Bitcoin, saying it's just like gold. Let's play this clip.
Dollar war in the Federal Reserve itself, in terms of the system, what do you think of that idea?
I don't think that's how people think about it. I mean, it's so, you know, people use Bitcoin as a speculative asset, right? It's like gold. It's just like gold, only it's virtual. It's digital. People are not using it as a form of payment or as a store of value. It's highly volatile. It's not a competitor for the dollar. It's really a competitor for gold. You know, that's really how I think of it.
So this is the chair of the most powerful central bank in the world now weighing in on Bitcoin, saying it's basically a digital gold. Do you catch that? I mean, he's right that people aren't using it as a medium of exchange. Totally right. But he also said, if I'm hearing it correctly, that they're not using it as a store of value. He said they're using it like gold, which is interesting because gold, people use gold as a store of value.
What is that? What is that? Yeah.
Anyway, so he's both acknowledging that it's a digital gold, but also kind of brushing it to the side, right? Mm-hmm. Because of course the dollar is king in Powell's world. But just the fact that central bankers are weighing in on this, that is a product of this cycle.
Weighing in on it and being directionally correct, like kind of informed about Bitcoin and not being just like giving dog shit takes like we've heard over the last like 5-6 years.
You know, like 5 years ago, it would have been, it's just drug money. No one's, no one's using it. Why are you even asking? I've refused to answer. It'd be that kind of, it wouldn't even come up in an interview like this in a serious way.
This is Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve. And when he is directionally correect about Bitcoin, man, Bitcoin has come a long way. Like, it is extremely legitimized in mainstream society.
Yeah. All right. So now we're on the march to a million, David. You think we'll get there?
I mean, it was 13 years ago that Bitcoin was at $100. Today, it's at $100,000. And, 11 years ago. In 11 years, 100 million?
What?
100
no,
million
we
Bitcoin?
Don't, no, we don't do that. What? No.
Come on. Doesn't it work like that?
I mean, another 10x. People have said the first 100,000 is the hardest, right? But but also now we're in diminishing returns. We're on the kind of the tail end of the S curve. I do think we will see 1 million at some point, whether that's this cycle or the next decade. I'm like not sure. Maybe it takes longer.
It's crazy that like Bitcoin is both $100,000 and $0.1 million. The fact that you can just say it's one Bitcoin is $0.1 million is kind of crazy.
Says something
about that. Getting so close to $1 million, being able to be measured by $1 million, is like, I feel like there's a magnet there.
Yeah.
Just like F it. Just like it's easier to think about. So let's just get it to a million.
Yeah, that's right.
One Bitcoin is $1 million.
Right, ETH, that goal's for you. Come on, you can get there too. Yeah. Let's go check in on Little Brother,
Speaking of ETH, so Bitcoin started the week, 94,900, up 6.3%. Ether started the week, 3,560, up 11% on the week.
That's one more percent than Bitcoin.
No, it's almost doubled the percent. Bitcoin is up 6.3%.
Oh, I thought you said 10%. Okay,
No, ETH is up 11, almost
good
double
week.
Up. Yeah, so Ether ending the week at 3,920. Maybe, Ryan, we might see $4,000 this year.
Can you imagine?
We got 25 days for ETH to crack $4,000 in 2024. Just a reminder, the ETH all-time high is at $4,850-ish. So we are still like $900 off of the all-time high. We had an inter-week high of the ETH Bitcoin ratio of 0.04, up from the Davy Jones locker where it was at 0.032. At the end of November, it touched 0.04. Right now, due to Bitcoin strength, we are at 0.039. But we have the ratio is 2-3 weeks of looking acceptable.
Ether's looking strong.
It's not. it's looking not weak. It
okay,
is looking
okay.
not weak.
Maybe I miss, like, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself with the strength here. But explain this chart, Mr. T.
Okay, so this is a meme that's going around with the traders. It's called the giant effing triangle meme. and this has been, Ether has just been trading in triangles for forever. And this is like the largest triangle that Ether has ever traded in. The point of the triangle starts.
I hate this triangle. I hate it. Is it okay if I hate it?
It's the trap of the triangle. But the thing is like, it's obviously not going to break down. Crypto doesn't break down. It's not going to the bottom of that triangle.
Okay.
But when it breaks to the upside of that triangle, because the triangle is so large, the implied move, once it does break through this triangle, is the speculation is that it's going to be very large. So this triangle is a wedge between where it peaked out in 2021 at 4,800 and then where it bottomed in 2022 at like 800.
Yeah.
And then we've been a higher low ever since that $800 in 2022 and a lower high also since then. And so we're converging here and like we're pushing up on this giant effing triangle. And because the triangle is so large, the implied move post-triangle breaking is, you know, theoretically large.
My triangle reading then, if I'm reading triangles here, is if we punch above around 4K here, then it's just we're in good territory. We're in undiscovered country. We get to like do new things. We're no longer constrained by this crappy wedge triangle. Yeah,
it's clear skies above $4,000, and we are $80 away from that.
Well, speaking of Donald Trump, maybe he can take some credit for getting ETH to 10K because World Liberty Financial, again, this is an entity from the Trump family, mm-hmm. has been stacking some Ether on the week, okay? So they have purchased $30 million worth of Ether, also
It's actually up since then. He's bought $40 million of Ether.
What? Yeah, okay, and you said he, but of course we're talking about World Liberty Financial, which is like the DeFi protocol, right?
Donald
like...
Trump specifically is buying $40 million
That's the
of
meme,
Ether
right?
on
That's
chain.
The meme. I mean, he owns a portion of it, right? So it's not him. Anyway, so 40 million in Ether, also 10 million in Bitcoin, but disproportionately Ether.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Kind of new. I don't recall Biden buying Ether during the last bull run, do you?
No, not at all. All right, let's check in on the ETF flows just for the last days. The Bitcoin ETF flows. Looking real good. 28th of November was Thanksgiving, so the markets were off. The 29th, 320 million in. The 2nd of December, 350 million in. The 3rd, 670 million in. The 4th, 556 million in into the Bitcoin ETFs. So billions of dollars flowing in into the Bitcoin ETFs. Taking a look at the Ether flows. Also, looking very good. $330 million in on the 29th, 24 in on the 2nd, 132 in on the 3rd, and 167 in on the 4th. Very strong numbers. ETH is almost at the cusp of hitting $1 billion of total inflows. And net inflows. As a reminder, the depth of the outflows of ETH was negative $600 million. So we are $300 million higher in total inflows than we were ever in the hole. And I think this is just getting started. We'll probably break $1 billion by this time next week.
Yeah, it's very bullish.
Total crypto market cap is now at $3.8 trillion. We are on track to hit $4 trillion, which I think you said was ambitious, Ryan, by the end of this year.
I did say that.
Yeah, we are $200 billion away, which is just a measly few percentage points in Bitcoin
easy.
World.
That
should be easy.
And are you want to call for $5 trillion now, David?
Not this year. Maybe next okay. year. Maybe All next right. year. And checking in on our Layer 2 updates brought to us by Mantle. Thank you, Mantle. Big numbers out of Base. 24-hour volume on Base has hit a new all-time high of $2.3 billion. I definitely assisted in some of that numbers. I've been trading my Base meme coins.
You got a billion or so in there?
Yeah, at least. Yeah, that's okay. It's all me. And then movers of the week. I don't know about you, Ryan, but I was having some deja vu this last week because the big movers of the week are some 2017 coins, XRP, Cardano, IOTA, and Stellar Lumens. I forgot about Stellar Lumens. Up almost 500% in the last 30 days. XRP up 400% in the last 30 days.
This is crazy, dude. I mean,
Cardano up 250% in the last 30 days. Kind of insane.
We talked about this last time, but it's like 2021 retail, just like locked back in.
Muscle memory.
They
are bought into one coin. They will not buy any other coins.
They were like, oh, this went up last time. I want this again. And they bought all the things that like people you know, the crypto natives don't typically buy, right?
Yeah, complete curveball. But there, not only that, but XRP has experienced apparently XRP Phi Ripple Finance. There's apparently DeFi on Ripple. Apparently there's meme coins on Ripple.
Calling it DeFi, the D stands for decentralization, David.
Fair enough.
So,
fair enough. Fair enough.
It's something.
I totally agree.
You can do things on chain, right? So it's like, you know, CDFi or something like this.
I thought this was a funny tweet from Evans, who's one of Bankless's biggest fans. XRPL DeFi is legitimately slick. It's like Jupiter or Pump.Fun or Uniswap or OpenSea all rolled into one app. There's yield-forming meme coins and NFT. Transactions are instant and cost 0.00003 cents, and it works with MetaMask snaps. They increased bandwidth and reduced latency, plus very clean UI UX.
He's taking a jab at Solana.
Okay? He's actually taking a jab at Solana with this one.
If you couldn't tell. But, you know, interesting. The big news here is XRP is now number three.
Number three.
Flipping Solana. There was talk of Solana trying to flip in Ether earlier in the cycle.
It was teasing the flippening of Solana because it was within a couple million billion dollars.
Yeah.
And then it just rocketed. So the market cap of Ripple is $137 billion.
Yeah.
Solana is at $114 billion. So like it flipping Solana and then just started doing laps.
Okay.
Like kind of crazy.
Yeah. What's crazy about these numbers here is like Ether might not be saved, David. Okay, look at this column. Fully diluted valuation, all right? Uh-huh. So again, this is like all of the XRP that's not in the market but is in kind of the Ripple treasury or somewhere else, right? It's like whatever, quote-unquote locked, not available to the market, but is real supply. If you look at FDV, okay, David, XRP is 60% half pump away from flippening Ether.
That's funny.
Is it funny? Are you laughing about
this? Why does Ripple, how does it move like that? Where does this capital come from?
You were talking about last week. It's Uber driver. It's taxi. It's retail capital. It's
that's
just people
nuts,
that are
man.
Not listening
that's
to Bankless.
Nuts.
You know, it's the different tribe that are in crypto. There's something.
I'm in a couple like just like alpha groups, like DGEN Trenches Telegram groups, and like somebody was talking about trying to get onto Ripple to buy like the Ripple Army meme coin, and he was just like, I've been doing this for like 45 minutes trying to figure this out. And I just closed the Telegram app. I'm like, I'm not doing this. There's no way I'm touching Ripple.
Did you see this from Gwart? He goes, I asked a Ripple holder why they should invest in XRP. They said, imagine being able to invest in Swift. To which I said, okay, why would I want to invest in Swift? And they said, do you know how Swift works? And I said, no. Do you know how Swift works? And they said, no. That's the tweet.
Oh, wow. That got almost 10,000 likes. Nice tweet, Gwart.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's going on in the hot crypto coins of the week. Also, Tron up. We didn't mention that, but that's going crazy, too.
Why? Because why not?
Stablecoin supply. This is good news for all of us. All of our liquidity is at all-time highs, $186 billion. So this had to happen in order for all of our other coins to go up. It's particularly good for DeFi as well.
And this $186 billion is actually already out of date. This is coming in from like 2 or 3 days ago. There has already since been multiple billion dollars of Tether and USDC minted on Ethereum. One that just came in this morning, just before we started recording, another $1 billion at the Tether treasury on Ethereum. So this, I mean, I don't know if you've been looking, Ryan, but the yields in Ethereum DeFi are very
juicy.
Strong, anywhere between like 8% and 20%.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, you know, follow the money. That it is a gravity
on your stable
of
coins.
That's a black
nice.
Hole of liquidity. So that's, we're just sucking in stable coins into Ethereum right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. Another news on the week too was Grayscale is filing to convert their Grayscale Solana Trust. Remember they did this with Bitcoin, then they did this with Ether, converting their trust into GSOL to an ETF. Mm-hmm. So their Solana Grayscale Trust filing to convert this into an ETF. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Bitwise filing for a Solana ETF. So the big question of this cycle is, I asked James Seifert, is the Solana ETF going to happen now? He said, yes, .. Eventually, we'll know within the next few days if it potentially happens as early as August or if they have to wait till 2025, later into 2025 or into 2026.
I could see a Solana ETF Q4 2025.
Yeah, so James Seifert still thinks they'll follow the process that they've been following, that they won't short-circuit this and get it in Q1. Right. He said, theoretically, it's possible a new admin wouldn't follow how things have been done for decades, but I don't think simply because they are more accommodative means they're going to rush approval for these things. So probably toward the end of 2025 and into 2026 is the slate. But, I mean, the fact that all of these issuers are filing tells you something's cooking.
Kind of bullish. Imagine getting like a bunch of ETFs towards the end of 2025, 2026. Might be a sell the top event. It might be like, remember when Ether and Bitcoin got futures like right at the top?
Yeah.
And that was the top of like 2017.
You're calling it top already? But it's a year away. So we get
a year. That was a whole year away. We have only gotten like three top signals so far. I'm like waiting until I count 300. But that's a problem for our future selves. Coming up next, the crypto debanking became mainstream and a news topic this last week after Mark Andreessen went on Joe Rogan. So there's a lot to discuss here. Ryan even had his own little tiny role in the story as this Twitter thread of all these crypto founders who got debanked started going viral. Trump also named a pro crypto chairman of the SEC, who is Paul Atkins. And is it bullish for crypto? All this and more. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible. Especially Kraken, our preferred place to buy Bitcoin, even when it's above $100,000. If you do not have an account with Kraken, consider clicking the link in the show notes, getting started with Kraken today. Want to know the exchange we at Bankless use to buy, sell, and trade crypto? It's Kraken, one of the longest standing and most secure crypto platforms in the world, with tools for every type of trader to get started. Over 13 million users trust Kraken with their funds because they lead with transparency and privacy through top-notch security measures. Plus, they'll have access to professional 24/7, 365 client support from real humans because your financial goals deserve real attention. Kraken also has a trading platform for advanced traders called Kraken Pro. Professionals and degens love Kraken Pro because it's one of the most customizable, high-performance, and intuitive trading platforms in the industry. Design your ultimate trading interface by choosing from over 25 widgets for market data, analysis, execution, and other order management tools. Save multiple layouts and switch between them effortlessly on any trading scenario across 300 different assets. Manage your trades on the go with Kraken Pro's highly rated mobile app, or use the all-new desktop app to unlock ladder trading in a native Rust application. With Kraken Pro, you can truly trade like a pro. Ready to take control over your crypto journey? Visit kraken.com/bankless to get started today. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss and is offered to U.S. customers through Payward Interactive, Inc. View legal disclosures at kraken.com/legal/disclosures. Are you ready to take control over your entire financial life? Crypto, DeFi, and fiat all in one place? Meet iYield, the free financial planning tool built for crypto natives. Unlike traditional portfolio trackers that just show you the value of your assets, iYield goes deeper. It consolidates everything, assets, debts, income, and expenses, offering you a complete financial picture across 16,000 tokens, 40 DeFi protocols, and all fiat currencies. With real-time DeFi yield tracking for platforms like Aave, Athena, Eigenlayer, and Uniswap, iYield ensures that you're always on top of your staking rewards, investments, and cash flow. And the best part? It's 100% free with no ads, and it's secure. No personal data, no ID requirements, no compromises. So head over to iYield.com to sign up today and get the guesswork out of financial planning. Imagine if the world's GDP moved on chain. Well, say hello to SafeNet, built by Safe, the project set on actually making that happen. It's not a blockchain, it's not a layer two, it's a transaction processor network built to send money anywhere and swap anything on thousands of layer twos, all from a single universal balance. With sub 500 second execution guarantees and zero cross-chain latency, SafeNet delivers a Solana-like user experience for Ethereum and its layer twos, making transactions lightning fast and seamless. SafeNet connects Safe smart accounts across multiple chains, allowing users to access any chain with a unified balance, all with supercharged security, scalability, and speed. So get involved today. Join the waitlist and follow Safe on X and check out the SafeNet docs. There is a link in the show notes.
A story that we are very familiar with, have been talking about for a while, the debanking of crypto. It felt like it had a mainstream moment last week, and it's all because of this clip. This is Mark Andreessen on the Joe Rogan podcast. I think he spells out the problem quite eloquently. Let's just play the clip.
New in financial services.
Can you give me an example?
Well, debanking. This is where a lot of the debanking comes from, is these agencies. So debanking is when you as either a person or your company are literally kicked out of the banking system.
Like they did to Kanye.
Exactly. Like they did to Kanye. My partner Ben's father has been debanked.
Really?
We had an employee who...
For what?
For having the wrong politics. for saying unacceptable things. Under current banking regulations, here's a great thing. Under current banking regulations, after all the reforms of the last 20 years, there's now a category called a politically exposed person, PEP. And if you are a PEP, you are required by financial regulators to kick them off of your to kick them out of your bank. You're not allowed.
But what if you're politically on the left?
Well, that's fine.
No,
because they're not politically exposed.
So no one on the left gets debanked.
I have not heard of a single instance of anybody on the left getting debanked.
Could you tell me what the person that you know did? What they said that got them debanked?
Oh well, I mean, David Horowitz is a right wing. You know, he's pro Trump. I mean, he's said all kinds of things. You know, he's been very anti-Islamic terrorism. He's been very worried about migration, all these things.
And they debanked him for that.
Yeah, they debanked him. So you get kicked out. You get kicked out of your bank account. You get kicked out of the. You can't do credit card transactions. But, by the way, you can't.
How is that legal?
Well, exactly. So this is the thing. And so, and then you go into this thing of like, well, there's no. This is where the government and the companies get intertwined. Back to your fascism point, which is there's a constitutional amendment that says the government can't restrict your speech, but there's no constitutional amendment that says the government can't debank you, right? And so they, if they can't do the one thing, then they do the other thing, and then they don't have to debank you. They just have to put pressure on the private company banks to do it, and then the private company banks do it because they're expected to. But the government gets to say, we didn't do it. It was the private company that did it. And of course, JP Morgan can decide who they want to have as customers, of course, right? Because they're a private company.
He goes on and he talks about 30 different crypto companies within the Andreessen Horowitz portfolio that were also debanked, and cites some
crypto
other
examples.
Crypto
becomes like a main character in this story.
Yeah. So did you listen to this interview, David?
Yeah, it was great. I thought it was great.
Solid interview.
I sent it to my lib mother. For love. And she said she would listen to it, so I will report back.
Yeah, it was actually a huge chunk of the podcast was actually dedicated to this debanking issue. They kept going back to it. And
for the listeners out there, this tweet has 307,000 likes and 60 million views. So that's a large number.
Yeah.
That is all of Twitter saw this.
I mean, you saw the, like, there was a massive amount of commentary about this. Like, a lot of people were saying that Mark Andreessen was just kind of like being hyperbolic about this. That wasn't really a problem.
That was a little bit of my reaction to it.
Yeah.
He was a little bit hyperbolic. He was just like, oh, yes, it's because of political speech.
Yes.
Which, so, like, that's a little bit of an embellishment.
Did you read the Nick Carter kind of like fact check type thing about like where Andreessen was right and where he was wrong? Like he wrote a fantastic article about this earlier in the week.
He was writing that in response to another individual who fact-checked Mark Andreessen. I didn't read Nick Carter's response, but I did read the fact-checking of Mark Andreessen and thought that it was like unsatisfactory. I was like,
Nick Carter's was unsatisfactory.
No. I didn't read Nick Carter's. The guy who's like this, like
Nick Carter basically spells it out. So it's like where Mark Andreessen was like kind of pushing the limit here was, you know, how many people are debanked due to politics. I mean, that remains kind of unclear, right?
Right.
Yeah. He also brought into play Elizabeth Warren's kind of institution called the CFPB. And said that they were partly responsible for this. They don't really do much of the debanking. Most of the debanking that we feel in crypto, which is where a lot of the evidence is coming from, comes from the FDIC, the Fed, the OCC, and the SEC doing what Mark actually said, which is kind of like working behind the scenes, sending letters to banks, making it feel like, you know, you can only have less than 15% of depositors can be in crypto, making it feel very risky for them, and kind of like through the mechanistic bureaucracy debanking crypto companies in the background. And that's primarily where I've seen the evidence for it. It's like targeted at industries. That's what Operation Chokepoint 1.0 was. It was about like, you know, pot, the adult entertainment industry, a few different sectors that the government didn't like. In Operation 2.0, they were targeting the crypto industry effectively and debanking crypto startups and entrepreneurs.
I think Mark was kind of zooming in pretty narrowly and then getting kind of the details and facts technically wrong, but still directionally very correct, which kind of opened him up to being corrected. But he also did it in a way that like is a little bit of a shock factor game. And also, you know, playing a little bit of chess. It's like, yeah, kind of being hyperbolic, kind of just making very bold claims that are directionally correct, although narrowly incorrect. But overall, the net effect of it was just masterful.
Yeah, this is a lot of commentary. So Brian Armstrong says, I can confirm this is true, the debanking of crypto. It was one of the most unethical and un-American things that happened in the Biden administration. My guess is we'll find Elizabeth Warren's fingerprints all over it. Biden himself was probably unaware. Other comments from Jesse Powell, the founder of Kraken. We had no U.S. banking for several years while one U.S. company enjoyed a monopoly secured by its heavyweight investors. That singular bank was recently assassinated. He's talking about probably Silvergate, maybe Signature. We barely made it by focusing on Europe. So again, crack in the exchange is like debanked, according to Jesse Powell. This is Sam from Frax. You know, Sam, he kept quiet about this for almost a year out of fear. But since I'm in good company with all of these people, the Winklevosses came out, you know, Brian Armstrong, etc. Last December, Sam says, I got a call from JP Morgan saying, we have to close anyone's account that we know their primary source of income or wealth is from crypto. This is directly from the top from Jamie. He means Jamie Dimon. I'm really sorry. So Sam, co-founder Frax, was completely debanked as well as a result of his crypto activities. David Marcus, you remember one of the architects of the Libra activity? He goes through this long story of how basically the U.S. government killed Libra, killed Diem, just like, you know, made it so that they could not actually, even though they checked all of the boxes from a regulatory perspective, that they received such backlash from the regulators and the banks that they couldn't actually launch the product, kind of killed the product, strangled it in the crib, really. So more evidence of this. Anyway, lots of these things coming out in crypto circles, which I think is where Mark's debanking points are the most salient.
And I don't think this is really a surprise to anyone listening to this, but just to reiterate the point of emphasis here, this is news because it's news in mainstream. Like this last week, this story got broke out into like mainstream society, and there's a lot more awareness about this. So this is no longer crypto people talking about their crypto experiences on crypto podcasts. This is now being digested by the rest of the United States like news sphere.
Melania Trump. She came out in her recent biography saying she and Barron were actually debanked. Did you know that too?
Wow, yikes.
Yeah. So maybe that's more the point about, you know, political.
Maybe there was more like political debanking than I thought.
Fun fact story. Bankless actually got its start from a little bit of debanking as well. So I was debanked. This is before when David and I were talking, doing some work together, but before we officially started the podcast, by Bank of America in 2019. They basically just sent a Dear John letter that was just like, hey, your account's too risky. You have 30 days to withdraw. You have no longer access. See you later. So I went at that time. I was like, what? Like, what's going on? I got an account at a credit union. David and I still use that same small community credit union for banking services for Bankless now. And then in parallel to that, this is a story I actually haven't shared yet publicly. I just shared this on the back of this. I got a letter from the SEC. So I was running a staking services infrastructure company at the time for Cosmos, fun fact. I was planning to get into Ethereum staking, all of these things, and I got a discovery nastygram for the SEC on the back of this bank closure that basically, it was kind of like a veiled threat. And they, when they launched discovery, they want every email, every invoice, every contract. This is like legal fees to respond and collect all of this information. It was me and this other DevOps guy. It was like a two-person tiny company. And I was like, what is going on here? I don't want to mess with this. Close down the staking business. And that's when you and I just started getting to Bankless full time. So
ironically, running a very loud broadcasting Bankless media company talking about all of this stuff.
Yeah.
So they effed with the wrong guy.
I guess so. Anyway, just for all the people out there who are like, no, debanking doesn't really happen. I mean, it's happened to me. It happened to people that we know. It does happen, and it was happening. So that's I'm glad that's reaching kind of the attention of mainstream in the way it should.
All right, to round out this political part of the podcast, let's talk about the new SEC chair nomination. Paul Atkins to lead the SEC. This is a tweet from Donald Trump on Truth Social. I don't know what they call tweets out there. It says, Paul is a proven leader for common sense regulations. He believes in the promise of robust, innovative capital markets that are responsive to the needs of investors that would provide capital to make our economy the best in the world. He also recognizes that digital assets and other innovations are crucial to making America greater than
digital assets
before. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So what do we know about Paul? He founded a consulting firm in 2019, that advising on financial services in complex regulatory issues and strategy. That firm has clients including banks, crypto exchanges, and DeFi platforms.
Yeah.
He was appointed by former President George W. Bush as SEC Commissioner from 2002 and 2008. So he's been in the office
before. He's already
been there. And that his overriding philosophy is apparently the free market system. Hester Peirce. So it's great to know things about Paul. Hester Peirce put out a tweet, said that we have a lot of work to do at the SEC to advance free markets, capital formation, investor choice, and innovation. I'm delighted that Paul Atkins will be returning to lead the effort. Having worked for him during his last stint at the agency, I cannot think of a better person for the job.
Wow.
Wow.
Hester
wow.
Peirce.
You can tell me anything about Paul Atkins, and I'd be okay, great. But if Hester Peirce is giving this statement, I cannot think of a better person for the job.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm sold. I am sold. That's all I need to know.
That feels pretty good.
That's all I need to know.
This is an interview. There's not much from Paul on crypto, but this is one brief moment where he talked about crypto in an interview. Let's just play the clip.
If it's, you know, if it challenges incumbents and it helps to bring down costs for investors and for people who are trying to raise capital, I mean, that's the reason why we have financial markets, and to have capital find its way to businesses, and people take risks and they may lose all the money by investing in something, but that's their right. You know, they can go buy a lottery ticket and lose all
the
money.
There you go. I mean, that's much better than Gary Gensler's gatekeeping sort of style, right? Of just like, you know, adults aren't, you can't invest in certain classes of assets.
Mm-hmm. My gut on this guy is, I think this is a plus one to the, we're going to get a bunch of ETFs with the process.
Yeah.
We're not skipping the process, with a process.
Oh, he had process guy vibes.
Free market process guy.
Yeah. Yeah, much less annoying than Gary Gensler, I gotta say. Maybe so, it's been God, so many
Gary
years
Gensler
with Gary Gensler's
is a gnome.
Voice, but like, this guy did not annoy me at all. This
not
is Jake,
at all.
Jake Chervinsky.
I look forward to his office hours.
And he maybe he should he'll come on Bankless sometime, which
maybe.
We never
oh
got
my
Gary
God, that would be
imagine
great.
Talking
Could
to
you
an
imagine?
SEC chair, like
I'd love
having
to talk
a nice
to this man.
Conversation. Yeah. Jake Chervinsky, it's impossible to express the magnitude of shift we're likely to see at the SEC run by Paul Atkins. Crypto has literally never existed without the overhang of uncertainty or hostility from U.S. regulators. Wow. He's right about that. We've literally never seen this. Yeah, good comments from Patrick McHenry and others as well. So this feels pretty good. All right, so this is the team beginning to form. So last week we got Treasury. This week we got SEC. The one we're waiting for is the crypto czar. And recall from last week, Chris Giancarlo's name is being floated. So that's crypto dad, literally crypto dad. Couldn't get any better than that. We'll see what happens. What do we got coming up, David?
Hyperliquid drops the best airdrop since Uniswap, and it pumps 3x after the drop because no VCs are involved. We're going to check in on this. Hawk2a straight to jail. Checking in on the coin launch of Hawk2a Girls meme coin. An artifact is shutting down operations. This gargantuan NFT platform from 2021 finally closing up shop. And then Alex Mashinsky pleads guilty to some of the allegations. What is the sentence? All of this and more, but first a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible. New projects are coming online to the Mantle Layer 2 every single week. Why is this happening? Maybe it's because Mantle has been on the frontier of Layer 2 design architecture since it first started building Mantle DA, powered by technology from EigenDA. Maybe it's because users are coming onto the Mantle Layer 2 to capture some of the highest yields available in DeFi, and to automatically receive the points and tokens being accrued by the $3 billion Mantle treasury in the Mantle Reward Station. Maybe it's because the Mantle team is one of the most helpful teams to build with, giving you grants, liquidity support, and venture partners to help bootstrap your Mantle application. Maybe it's all of these reasons all put together. So if you're a dev and you want to build on one of the best foundations in crypto, or you're a user looking to claim some ownership on Mantle's DeFi apps, click the link in the show notes to getting started with Mantle. Uniswap Labs is making history with the largest bug bounty ever. $15.5 million for critical bugs found in Uniswap V4. This isn't just any update. Uniswap V4 is built with hundreds of contributions from community developers and has already undergone 9 independent audits, making it one of the most rigorously reviewed code bases to be deployed on-chain. And with 2.4 trillion in cumulative volume processed across Uniswap V2 and V3 without a single hack, the commitment to security and transparency is rock solid. Now Uniswap Labs is taking an extra step to make V4 as secure as possible with a $15.5 million bug bounty. Head to the link in the show notes to dive in and participate in the Uniswap V4 bug bounty. All the details, from eligibility and scope to the rewards, are there. Have you ever felt that the tools for developing decentralized applications are too restrictive and fail to leverage advancements from traditional software programming? There's a wide range of expressive building blocks beyond conventional smart contracts and Solidity development. Don't waste your time building the basics from scratch, and don't limit the potential of your vision. Cartesi provides powerful and scalable solutions for developers that supercharge app development. With a Cartesi virtual machine, you can run a full Linux OS and access access decades of rich code libraries and open source tooling for building in Web3. And with Cartesi's unique rollup framework, you'll get real-world scaling and computation. No more competing for block space. So, if you're a developer looking to push the boundaries of what's possible in Web3, Cartesi is now offering up to $50,000 in grants. Head over to Cartesi's grant application page to apply today. And if you're not a developer, those with staked CTSI can take part in the governance process and vote on whether or not a proposal should be funded. Make sure you're vote ready by staking your CTSI before the votes open. Hyperliquid, a DeFi protocol with its own layer one, a general purpose parallelized EVM with perpetuals and a spot DEX. I haven't personally used Hyperliquid, so I'm not terribly informed about it. But
you
just
don't do
airdrops.
Perps, David?
I don't do perps too much. No. I was a perps degen in like the pre-2020 era, but now I just stick to spot.
You don't like your volatility like 5 to 10x'd?
I kind of do. But you can get those with meme coins. And the meme coins have funny pictures that go with them. It became one of the largest DEXs by volume and open interest, and it distributed 310 million HYPE tokens, positions it as the seventh largest airdrop based on CoinGecko.
Wow.
With a coming in today with 1 billion total supply of HYPE tokens, so gave away 310 million, 31%. Kind of insane. Gave away 31% in the airdrop. Sorry for the ambulance. The current FDV of Hyperliquid is clocking in at $12.4 billion. It dropped at the token dropped at $3 to $4.
Okay,
and it has gone up only to almost $13. So it has dropped an insane amount of wealth. Again, 30% of its token giving away to the community because there's no VCs. This is a self bootstrapped DeFi platform that's turning into its own layer one with no VCs in it. And so just an incredible story here.
Yeah. Look at people showing some of the results of their airdrop. This one guy's person, $307,000 wow. in an airdrop. Wow. That is a nice Christmas gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty cool to see that going on.
Okay, let's get into Hawk Tua. Okay, so Haley Welch, otherwise known as the Hawk Tua girl, she's been like flirting with the crypto ecosystem for a while. She has like a Mad Lads custom PFP NFT, decided to make a Hawk meme coin. I don't know if that's playing in your ears, Ryan, but that's the
not.
Hawk Tua girl saying, my meme coin is live.
We're going to spare bankless listeners from playing
dude,
it, actually.
So, like, you can hear it once, but hearing that over and over again is kind of brutal.
That's a lot.
Okay, so... Yeah,
how did the launch go?
Didn't go so well. I don't really know if this is maliciousness or naivete. I don't know. But 97.5% supply of the token supply, 97.5% of the token supply was owned by like the deployer wallet or like insiders.
That's
that
not
were given
real. From. Is that real?
And so basically what that means when 95% of the token supply is owned by the deployer or relevant entities, associated entities, is that like when you pay $100 to buy one of these meme coins, you're basically paying who owns the supply $97.50. Like you're just a transfer from one person's pocket to the other. So this token pumped up to $500 million because people were trying to ape in first. And then this wallet, the deployer wallet and insiders started dumping that token from $500 million down to $60 million, attracting the attention, giving us terrible optics as an industry.
Hey, no, we're not. We were celebrating 100K Bitcoin, okay? This is not my crypto industry doing this. This is somebody
else.
I mean,
there's two things that broke out into public mainstream discourse this week. 100K Bitcoin and the Hawk Tua girl's meme coin.
Great.
You know CoffeeZilla?
Yeah.
CoffeeZilla got into the Twitter spaces and started grilling them on this activity.
CoffeeZilla.
And then that was got... He's the anti-scammer YouTuber.
Okay,
account.
That's right. That's
big
right.
YouTuber account. And then this Twitter space got retweeted by Dave Portnoy. Can we listen to this clip? It's about a 1 minute long clip of the Twitter space.
Is this CoffeeZilla speaking?
This is CoffeeZilla speaking to Haley and like the team.
Okay, here it is.
Questions from the community. Happy to answer any questions.
I have questions. I have questions. I'm raising my hand. Hey guys.
What CoffeeZilla?
Hey, this is one of the most miserable, horrible launches I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, then why the fuck are you on?
I've been tracing it on chain for a while. You guys generated over $1 million in fees while y'all's fans got rug pulled. There was snipers, but there was also insider trading directly linked to y'all's creator account. What are you guys doing?
What are you guys doing? Okay. So this is kind of, I just don't enjoy celebrity meme coins. I've come around to meme coins generally, but celebrity meme coins, I've just never seen one go right. It's just like, it's hard to launch one because you have people coming in so fast before the token can get distributed. But also it just
what
really
do you
looks
think?
Like this
do you
wasn't
think she
really
just,
set up well.
She just got in over her own head. Like, and she, you just
I
didn't understand the
mechanics. People don't know what they're
it.
Doing when they're coming into crypto.
I just
and they're thinking that things are okay when they're like not okay.
Yeah. I think that this is probably pretty, I would think this would be painful. Like, I saw all sorts of threads, even from like legal lawyers, law firms saying, hey, if you got rugged by the Hawktua like meme token, contact us because we're doing a class action lawsuit. Like, no good will come of this.
Are you sure that was there was a meme account that did that? Are
oh,
you
really?
Sure that was a real one or was it
I don't know
cause,
actually
because there was
no.
a there was a very believable meme account that,
oh that's hilarious
it was, yeah
I don't
I'm not so, sure that might have been real
but seriously though like what I mean right. You can't do this right you can't
you could like there's no rules dude wait, you wait. Can do.
Do we want Gary Gensler back, David? Would he protect us from this?
No, I'm going to go and take Peter Van Valkenburg's approach that he gave at the Bankless Summit, which is private law. If you don't like it, you can sue someone. And
yeah.
If you feel motivated to go do that, go do that.
Yeah, go do that.
Okay, like this is a private relationship between two people. One is a hawk to a token purchaser and one is a hawk to a token
and guys, member. Guys, let's all remember, you're buying a hawk to a token. Right? What are you expecting to happen here?
Okay, moving on into more DeFi related things, more serious topics. Instadap proposes a rebrand and new tokenomics following Fluid launch. Fluid is this brand new DeFi product on Ethereum from the Instadap team, which is this crazy story of these two kids out of India developing Instadap from a very young
these guys.
Age.
They're great.
Yeah, a crazy story about just like permissionless financial innovation.
They're brothers.
Building.
Brothers
yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like, people were giving them congratulations back in like 2020 when they built their first product, and now Fluid, which I'm still trying to figure out how to wrap my head around Fluid, but it's basically a very capital efficient hybrid between a lending borrowing system, kind of like Aave or Morpho, mixed with DEX trading fees. And so there's like they're providing liquidity to DEXs, collecting fees, and then also lending out money at the same time.
Aave.
Something about you put $1 in, and you provide like $37 of capital efficiency. I don't get how it works, but everyone's very stoked about
it. It's like Aave and Uniswap had a baby. It's kind of those two things combined.
And it has done the crazy numbers. It has just organically, without any token incentives, gotten a lot of TVL. The Instadap token has performed extremely well over the last few months. And there's a rebrand to go into the Fluid asset, which will include algorithmic buyback mechanisms. This is just layer one, good old-fashioned DeFi, which I'm always a big fan of. It's nice to see some fresh innovation in this space.
Yeah.
Big fans of whatever is coming out of this.
I mean, the governance proposal is the rebrand from Instadap, Instatoken to Fluid, but also this buyback strategy, which effectively is turning this token into a cash-flowing asset.
Love it.
Right?
Love it.
This
productive
is what we were
assets,
hoping for
productive
in DeFi.
DeFi assets. Let's get more of those.
Yeah, love it. Very, very cool stuff.
Okay. In a different world, NFT world, 2021 massive NFT project Artifact, which you might know as the Clone X NFT platform.
Oh, yeah.
That's the NFT kind of, that kind of started the whole thing. Those reached an all-time high floor price of 24 ETH in 2022. They trade for just 0.3 ETH today. Nike bought Artifact for an undisclosed amount. Some speculate like $1 billion in 2021.
In 2021, do you
nearly
remember this?
Nearly 3 years ago to the day is when it was required. Now, Nike is shutting it all down. They are officially winding down operations in January of 2025, saying the announcement, we are announcing to plan down the wind down of Artifact operations.
This was so cool. Do you remember this was during NFT Mania when these tokens were launching?
This was the peak of NFT Mania.
And then you had a big brand like Nike just like basically blessed this NFT platform. And they were talking about blending like physical Nike shoes. They did like a few Fiocious. Do you remember Fiocious, that NFT artist? They did a collaboration of Nike shoes with Fiocious. It was like peak mania. And now 3 years later, they're totally shutting it down.
Yeah,
so
end of an era
for sure.
At least it's a pretty good bottom signal for NFTs. NFTs are Good time to buy.
Yeah.
A CryptoPunk.
There you go.
Ryan.
There you go. It's always a good time to buy a CryptoPunk, according to David. I just haven't found the one that's like perfect for me, okay? That's why.
I keep sending them to you. You just ignore them.
You haven't sent me them in a while. I must have given you bad signals. Speaking of eras ended, David, Alex Mashinsky, one of the crypto criminals from 2022.
Oh, yeah.
So he pled guilty to all fraud charges. Remember this guy with the t-shirt, banks are not your friend?
To all of them. The classic t-shirt of banks are not your friend while building a bank.
Yeah. So he's still got some of my money. I don't know where that went, but a lot of people in crypto with kind of a similar story. So in court, Mashinsky admitted to giving Celsius customers, quote unquote, false comfort by giving an interview in 2021 in which he said Celsius has received approval from regulators for its EARN program, which it had not. He's pretending he got approval from regulators, and he failed to disclose that he'd been selling his holdings of Cell. Remember the Celsius token the whole time?
Yep.
I know what I did was wrong, and I want to do whatever I can to make it right. So he pled guilty to this. What would be his sentence? So the sentencing happens on April 8th, 2025, but as part of the plea deal...
We don't know the sentence.
No, but as part of the plea deal, Mashinsky agreed to not appeal any sentence if it was 30 years or less.
Oh...
Yeah.
So he is pleading, his plea deal is minimum 30 years.
Well,
Alex Mashinsky.
It could be up to 30 years, and he couldn't appeal that, is the case.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see. I see. I see.
But still, he's like, okay, I did it. And if I get 30 years, then I'm not going to appeal it.
Alex Mashinsky is not a young individual.
No.
How old do you think he is?
But yeah.
40, 45?
I mean, SBF maybe has a life on the other side of this, right?
Yeah. SBF will come out at like 50 years old.
Yeah.
45 or 50.
There
Alex
you go.
Mashinsky is coming out at
end
like
of an era,
65,
David.
70. Yikes. Okay, two releases. This one's actually a little bit personal because this is my buddy Colton. Colton is releasing alpha cards. These are physical. I've got a stack of them here. Physical trading cards, much like Magic the Gathering,
Did you play Magic in high? Like, were you a Magic the Gathering kid?
I never really got into Magic, but I have gotten into Hearthstone.
Okay.
Same kind of structure. Look how pretty these things are. I'm trying to hold them up to the camera. This one's the Aether's Phoenix. It's one of the legendary cards. It's got 10 attack, 10 health. It's just really cool. Colton is an artist, formerly out of the Gitcoin ecosystem. And these are all crypto lores. And so there's Lenny, who is a 2-stat card. Lenny, the Lens Clover. So that's if you cute. Like Lens, yeah, there's Aether's Phoenix. What else is there? Layer 2 Technician. What are some of these cards? There is, Ryan, one of my favorite cards, the Bankless Frontier, which gives you a one-time
that's
shield.
Nice. A
and
looks,
gives you a little resource.
Looks like me.
There's Etherscan. There's Merkle Tree Emanation.
Wait,
there's the GM card.
Is this
these
like
are
a...
just all crypto lore cards, but as like a Magic the Gathering. And the art is phenomenal, bro. It's so good.
This is like a stocking stuffer, I feel like. I feel like we're doing this right in time
this
for
is
Christmas
a good stocking
or something
stocker.
Like this. I would love to receive something like this.
I'm shilling the hell out of these things because they're not a token. There's their physical deck. Congrats to my buddy Colton he's tested out the structure, the balance of the game for
it's
like
an actual
over a
game
year now.
Play, like Magic.
It's an actual game. Yeah. We have a link of me actually playing with him. My first game, I got some beginner's luck and I just had some of the best draws and just like absolutely demolished him. It was great. It's a really fun game. So if anyone wants to just check out the art at the very least, there's a link in the show notes.
And who knows, you know, those Magic the Gathering cards, some of them are worth a lot. So you
that's
never
true.
Know, you never
that
know what could happen.
That's true.
Also, friends in Argentina, what's happening there?
Yeah, Crece Miento. This is coming out of the Crece Miento program, which for those people who remember, I was in Argentina for like all of August building out this like startup incubator ecosystem for Argentine crypto startups. There is a call to action, a call to arms, the Crece Miento GPC Accelerator, an early stage crypto accelerator to help bring ambitious Web3 founders to Buenos Aires. Investing $250,000 into your startup for two different safes is a 12-week accelerator program. So if you are in the Latin America region and you just want to hop over to Buenos Aires, or if you're around the world and get potentially $250,000 in your startup, there is an application open to founders based anywhere in the world. Application deadline is December 20th. The program starts January 13th in the Aleph Hub. Buenos Aires is a lovely city. And so there's just a lot of potential there. So this is a call to action to any startup that wants to go through this accelerator. There's another link in the show notes.
Aren't you going down there? Not
I am going down there. Not into Argentina. I'm going to the Chilean side of Patagonia. But yes, I'm going down there in 1 week to the day.
You climbing mountains, right?
No, I am walking. I'm just walking this time. I'm not climbing any mountains.
Yeah. Are you walking up something? Or
I'm walking around mountains. Okay. I'm walking in a circle around mountains.
All right. Yeah. I guess you've already done what you've needed to do to get the Gary Gensler horcruxes. And this so is true. There's no more mountain climbing necessary.
Oh, no, there's mountains. I haven't told you about my mountain plan in 2025, but we'll get to it when it comes.
Guys, let's get to the meme of the week. David, what are we looking at?
Okay, this is the classic, why doesn't our little meme coin trader come down to Thanksgiving meme? But this is a little bit different. This is Christmas is going to be a hell of a different this year, which is the meme coin person in the attic saying, there's my little no-coiner family. Why don't you guys come up here this time? And that is what happens when Bitcoin crosses 100K just 20 days before Christmas.
So this is the question on everyone's mind going into the holidays is, how do you tell your family you were right? How do you tell them that?
You just go back up to the top of the clip that we played at the very beginning of podcast. And you'd be like, you guys were laughing at me when I was getting my three paychecks paid in Bitcoin. Who's laughing now? You just say the line, who's laughing now?
Like, that'll be a hit among your family. Can you just be silent about it? Can you just do a humble win? Just, you know, if they ask, just be like,
That's up to the listener.
All right. Your own discretion, guys. Mm-hmm. 100K Bitcoin, though, of course, got to let you know, crypto is risky. You could lose what you put in, but we're headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless Journey. Thanks a lot.